Good morning. It is Monday. This is the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia
Studios.
Good morning, Tiff. Good morning. Mike, Bo, and Tiff here hanging out with you guys post a Falcons victory against NFC South rival, the Carolina Panthers, yesterday.
How was your flyover trip out to the beautiful western states? How'd it go?
You know, another red eye for the books. It's always a good idea until you're doing it.
Yeah.
And then it's not a good idea once you get back. So you always say, cool, I get home, because you don't want to lose, you know, you lose time when you come back from the West Coast.
Right.
Because we're 3 hours ahead of them. And so then when you try to factor all that in, but then you come in and you are.
You tell yourself it's worth it to get in your own bed, right?
Yeah, but then you miss, I like sunlight. I love sunlight. So then it's hard to sleep during the day. But so then you miss the chunk of your day because you're trying to catch up.
You're saying you should be in bed, but you like sunlight too much and you want to go expose yourself to sunlight.
Yes. I was going to say a phrase, but I'm not going to walk myself into that. But everybody needs sunlight.
Okay.
If you catch my drift.
All right.
So how was y'all's weekends?
Before
Sunday.
She's going to make a vitamin D joke.
Yeah. I took a minute to get, marinate in your head for a little
that's
bit.
That's funny. Well, that's 3 hours.
I wasn't going to do that to myself.
That's 3 hours of sleep right there that I have thinking through the process.
Absorb that in. Yeah. There you go.
I'm like, wait, what was she going to walk? Oh, she was going to do vitamin D.
I'm so clever, you know?
That's funny. That's funny. We stayed at a different place before. We normally stay at like in Uptown, as they call it.
You guys got in on Saturday.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And then we either stay in Uptown or South Park. We didn't stay there at all. We stayed by that, UNC Charlotte, the 49ers.
Okay. Yeah.
On the campus. They have a hotel on campus. Also, not a very active campus. Wasn't a lot of people out and about.
Yeah.
Weird area too. So we walked to the sports bar, and I'll get into this more about it. Was, I guess, an Ohio State sports bar, and it was funny because all the people in there pulling for Ohio State looked like they lived in middle Ohio. But anyways, we're walking, and I look down, and there's a field. And I look at Archie and go, hey, there's a guy down there with a fire. And there was a dude with a tent, and they filled. In random and somewhere in Charlotte area with a fire, like a campfire.
All right.
I don't know if I don't know. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen. I was like, I'm gonna walk. I'm gonna pick up my pace a little bit.
Yeah. Man. I was curious, and I was thinking about this last night. And obviously, we got to get the Falcons win. But I was thinking about this last night. Has it ever crossed your mind to just drive? Just like if with a 4 o'clock game, would you have thought about just driving?
No, never. I'm gonna tell you something. Somebody said makes more sense to drive, and I looked at him and go, how the hell would you know? And they said, what do you mean? It's only 4 hours. And I go, well,
four.
If I drive
three and a half.
Oh, well, it's not from Woodstock. If I drive 4 hours there, all right, so then I do a game, which means I need to be there by at least two, no later. I have to park, right? I have to find a parking pass, which most likely means I'll be walking about 15 to 20 minutes to the stadium. Do post game. Which means I probably wouldn't leave. I think we got done with post game at 8:20 last night for mine and Arch's duties. So that means I had to walk another 20 minutes. Now that's 9 o'clock. I'm leaving Charlotte, and that's 4 hours to my house. That don't make blank for sense for me.
Yeah, I can see how the Woodstock thing is definitely different. When I used to live in Flower Branch, it was always like. From Flower Branch makes
different.
Way more sense. You're like, dude, it's like, I feel like it's so ridiculous to go to Hartsfield to go to Charlotte.
It's 2.5 hours.
It's ridiculous. So, yeah.
And our equipment guys used to make that drive
and that flight all the time up there to Charlotte. And it was like, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. But I was curious for you if it would have made more sense at times to get that done. Yeah. But
I used to drive it all the time, NFL Network-wise, and then was like, no, I need to collect these measly miles that I'll get. I think it's only like, I don't know, 15,000 or whatever it is. And but it does, it kind of evens itself out in a way. You're not really, I don't know, in my opinion, losing or saving that much if you were to drive it or if you were just to get to the airport.
Right.
So
yeah. No, I agree.
Anything for you on Saturday?
Oh, yeah, I had to sweat out a Bama game right off the top against South Carolina with some of the craziest details of college football, just as far as bad decision-making in certain moments. And, I'm sure we'll get to that throughout the show. But, yeah, it was a stressful Saturday. Nonetheless, great day of college football. Unbelievable day of college football. And, we just hung out with some neighbors, had a few cervezas, and had a good old-fashioned, good weather Saturday watching football.
Here we are. You know what? Just to sum up my weekend, I'm eating pizza out of a bag this morning. So that is where we are for breakfast.
All right. Enough said.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured? Hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right. Some of you might have been sweating out the earlier parts of the Falcons and Panthers game, but the Falcons did win this 38-20. Here's Raheem Morris on getting it done.
Everything at that point. We're able to run the football. We're able to throw the football. We're able to get a couple stops until that last drive. You know, if we can have that back, that's how you want to be able to close out halves. That would be the difference between, you know, even being a little bit closer than it was. And, like, you know, you're always going to search for those things. You're always going to – this is an imperfect game where you're searching for perfection. So those things will always happen, and we'll always be able to correct those things.
I love that. An imperfect game, you're searching for perfection.
Apply it to life.
Yeah, you know what's funny is there was about 12 minutes ago, and I'm sitting there, I'm watching the game, obviously, with Goforth. We're waiting on, you know, doing post-game. And I looked at Goforth, and I said, one of these coordinators or play callers is about to do something stupid, and they're going to throw the ball. And there is no reason for either one of these teams to throw the ball in this situation. And obviously, Atlanta up by a score at that time. Chuba Hubbard's just gashing Atlanta's defense, and then Andy Dalton decides he needs to throw it and throws it right in front of A.J. Terrell. A.J. Terrell picks it off, and Atlanta is going the other way, just handing the ball off, and ended up doing a number of nice things in that next drive and kind of putting the game away. And I just thought to myself, that is so absurd for what Chuba Hubbard is doing in his defense right now, that you're going to continue in a one-score game to try to throw the ball with Andy Dalton on the crossing routes. But nonetheless, they did, man. And it's, kudos to A.J. Terrell. It's the first time he's gotten his hands on the ball in a long time. So it was nice to see that and him kind of, checking off that stat category. But it was a great way to finish, a good fourth quarter. And, you just continue to lean on that secondary, and, they're able to do some things in crunch time.
Yeah, Chuba Hubbard has been pretty good this year, and that was odd to me, is that's the first half, they didn't run the ball very well. I thought the Falcons did a pretty good job against the run game, and you knew that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to come in here, shorten the game, make it kind of muddy it up, and trying a way to win it behind the, Chuba Hubbard. You actually had a good day against the run, a defense overall. I mean, you have the huge Andy Dalton run. You take that away. I know you can't, but if you take that away, you held them with under 100 yards because Chuba didn't quite get there. I just think it's so hard to win in this league and to go in there and to basically shut them down offensively in the second half. But that shows a lot. You give up 3 points in the second half. By far, I think the Falcons' best half. Held them on, right at that 20 mark. That was, dude, that's great. Once the Falcons, Mike, I want to ask you, it's 10-7, and you go down the field, you go up, you score the touchdown, it's 13-10. I love the fact that they have the personal foul on the touchdown, and Raheem's like, all right, we'll take the ball at the one.
Yeah,
and we'll shove it down your throat with Algier and get the 2-point conversion. But from that point on, I know that it was a little bit of a seesaw where it was close. You had to score to 22-10 at one point. Then it was what, 22-17, and then it was 25-20. But it never felt like it was in danger once they went up 15-10.
No, it really didn't. We did a good job staying one step ahead. And obviously, had they get into scoring situations when you're up by three or up by five or whatever it may be, then things feel a little more hairy. But with the ground game as consistent as it was yesterday at times, it didn't really feel like they had a puncher's chance. And so when you're doing all those things, I wish that obviously some things gone differently, and we're going to continue to poke holes because, like he said, it's an imperfect game where you're searching for perfection, and you expect that. But nonetheless, big win yesterday. You handle your business in this game, and now you can kind of move on and start looking at some of the bigger matchups under more scrutiny coming up.
Well, you mentioned the ground game being so consistent. What was working for Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier? Because both of them had a big day on the ground. We'll get into it next when we come back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, come on, man. You know, I think so really just the finish and just the angriness. A lot of people say I run angry. Yeah, I guess you can say that. I guess it's that's just a bowling ball mentality, I guess. But, contact, boom, and then it was just the finish between me and the O-line and then everyone else just pushing. And
contact, boom, and bowling ball mentality. Is that kind of what Tyler Allgeier had to say to Dave Archer on the Falcons Radio Network post-game show? He ran 405 yards and had the game-sealing touchdown as the Falcons went on to beat the Panthers 38-20 yesterday.
Contact, boom, and then...
Yeah, I'm a big fan of contact, boom. I thought both running backs yesterday ran with a physicality that we have not seen. And Tiff, you were going to break and you tease what was working for the Falcons run game yesterday. I'll tell you what was working. Jake Matthews, Matthew Bergeron, Ryan Neuzel, Chris Lindstrom, and Caleb McGarry. Because all five of those...
Are you not going to thank you? I was waiting for the resident offensive lineman to have some sort of reaction.
All five of those guys were working their ass off yesterday. In fact, I mean, Matthew Bergeron was dropping bodies.
Yeah, he needed syrup.
I mean...
He needed syrup out
there. I wanted to stop by IHOP afterwards because he made me hungry with some of the pancakes he threw.
Maybe dice up some strawberries, throw them on top.
No, I'm a blueberry guy. I like them cooked in the pancakes, personally.
That's acceptable.
Fair enough. That's exactly what was going on yesterday. No, I mean, I thought it was nice. You kind of...
I didn't mean to steal your thunder. I apologize.
No, because I think there's a lot of different ways to talk about the run game. It's not just, it was a good run game. It's why was it a good run game? And I think when you look at it, I've obviously been a proponent. We've talked on the show about variation in the run game and why don't we, pull a guard. We still didn't pull a guard, but we ran a speed sweep once. We pulled Jake Matthews once on a little bit of, toss sweep action as well. We also started sprinkling much more of what I call mid-zone. They might call it an inside zone, right? And it kind of probably looks to the naked eye like the running back is just cutting back a little bit sooner and getting more downhill, but it's really not. So what you would have on like a wide zone we normally run is you're kind of either way, whether there's a tight end or not, the running back's kind of taking off, aiming at the what would be a tight end or a ghost tight end. On the mid zone, you kind of bring that aiming point in for the running back. He might be aiming at the inside cheek of the tackle, right? So it's a tighter aiming point. Just think of Kirk Cousins and his arm being stretched out to get it out on wide zone, and maybe then bend his elbow back a little bit, and the running back's cutting a little bit earlier, getting north and south a lot faster on the mid zone. So some of those plays were really hitting nice yesterday, and that's a head nod to the interior offensive line of being able to get movement.
I think they even ran a counter play in there that we saw. I think it was Allgeier. One of the things Tyler Allgeier said, some people think I run angry. I don't think he runs angry. I really don't. I think that he runs just with this. Both of our running backs, Bijan and Tyler Allgeier, to me, they have different styles. But when you make contact with them, they never stop moving their legs. Yeah. There's never any quit. You could say that for quite a few runs, but they're not easy to bring down. They're not first contact, they go down. Both these guys run through. That run on that after the AJ interception, where he's hit like 2 yards after the past the line of scrimmage, and he just kept his legs turning, and now he runs through a cut. He hits a guy and runs through him. Then he bounces off a guy. Now he spins. But he keeps his feet going, and he's moving back forward. And all of a sudden, I think it might have been McGarry or Lindstrom one. They just shove him, and now he flings into the pile, yeah. And he ended up getting 17 yards on the carry. 15 of that was after contact, and it's just that nonstop running a style, that aggressiveness that both these guys run with, and it's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree.
It really is. And then when you look at what this maybe could set the table for the team going forward, with Bijan talking about, that's where you want to be with guys not knowing, how to stop the run or how to stop the pass with this offense. So this type of game, I mean, how excited are you now about really the future of this team?
That's a good point, Tiff, and I think that the best part of this is you obviously beat Tampa in a completely different way, right? You were able to throw for 500 yards through the air, and your running game really didn't get going against Tampa Bay. and you didn't need to go through the air. You know, 1 week later, you didn't need to utilize the ball through the air because you were having so much success up front. And make no mistake about it, Carolina is dealing with a lot of injuries, but guess what? I mean, there's been times in the past Atlanta has done the same thing, and nobody gives them a pass either. So hats off to the interior offensive line, like I said. And they presented issues, man. They tried to walk guys into the box. They tried to bring an extra guy front side, which can kind of make things difficult. I did not think that Carolina's middle linebacker play was spectacular by any means. And being able to fill some of those gaps, even when they did add somebody to the front side of the run play. So, Tiff, to your point, you do it multiple ways, and then you know that when you get in crunch time, you can kind of take what the defense gives you. If they walk a guy down, you can kind of throw it over their head, and vice versa. It's all about game planning. It's all about running the script. It's all about reacting in real time. And Zach Robinson, it's like Raheem said, Zach Robinson's still growing in real time.
Yeah.
Right? He's still learning this thing, and he's still growing in real time. He's still learning his guys. I think he's really settled in nicely in the last couple of weeks.
You're seeing a lot of growth from him. There was a play, and I'm not sure. I think Darnell Mooney thought that he was about to get hit, but they sneak him out on almost like a type of wheel route type play, and Kirk hits him perfectly. Darnell jumps for the ball. I'm not overly sure why.
Arch was like, what's he doing?
Because he'd have walked in the end zone. He got up and knew it, too, because he kind of patted the ball. Like, what, you know. But I agree, and I think Zach Robinson is starting to feel himself a little bit, and yeah. I like that because he's gaining that confidence. I'm right there with him literally as the game ends, and you could just feel from him. But again, this was a more balanced game as far as number of plays. You ran 38 times compared to the dropping back 30. And so that's a little bit better of a balance than we saw last week. However, I dare to say that had Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson talked after the first quarter, you might have saw 50 runs,
yeah,
and maybe 20 throws.
I was going to ask the same thing, and I'll ask both of y'all. What was y'all thoughts initially after the first couple of drives? Because I was like, man, we ought to be able to run it really well today. And you come out and you throw a pass and it gets tipped. And I'm like, this can't be the game plan. Like, you can't come out and start throwing passes and risking the fact that you're going to get tip balls and interceptions. They're going to be jumping. They're going to be jumping a lot because they understand the game plan of the Falcons to be able to get it out. So, well, I just wasn't sure what we saw the first couple of drives. I was like, man, we got to start running this thing. Surely enough, they did, but it was nice to see.
Do you think they probably expected them to come out running? They probably expected the Falcons to run because knowing the injuries that they had defensively, so maybe that's why the offensive plan, they were like, let's try throwing it for a little bit and see what happens.
Well, I did not like the first possession at all that we had offensively because you gained 5 or 6 yards on the first carry from Bijan, and then you throw it twice, and didn't think Kirk looked very comfortable at all most of the game for whatever reason. Maybe later in the game he did seem to kind of settle in, but early he did. I don't know, something was off, and whatever it is. And you were getting that footing. I would have run it more earlier, but I understand also, you know, that you're trying to, you know, trying to keep it balanced and kind of mix it in and keep them off guard. I'll say this: if I had told anybody, any Falcons fan, I'm going to get you through 6 games, you're going to be 4-2, and you're going to be 3-0 in the division and 4-0 in the conference. You would all be feeling yourselves, like I think Zach Robinson is this morning, and like Bijan is, and like Tyler Algier is. You'd all be happy as hell. I'm gonna tell you something. You feel like you gave a couple away. You feel like, hey, you know what? We're a couple of plays away from being 6-0. However, you're 4-2, and it's a very important 4-2.
Yeah. Well, and I completely agree with that. And I think the thing is, when you look at this team, you're also close to having a couple taken back. I mean, the referee last week, I've mentioned a number of times, if he picks the ball up to spot it, you don't get it spiked with 1 second left. And so there's just a number of back and forth. That's the NFL. It's always going to be tight like that. But here's what I'll say about yesterday. The Falcons went out and took care of business against the team they should have beat, and they beat them. And there's a lot to be said about
it. Why are you always in my head with what I want to say next?
I don't know. I'm just talking. So, no, I mean, that's exactly what happened yesterday. They went out there, they beat a team they should have beat, and they dealt with business. And now it just feels like a lot of things unlocked. Had they gone out and struggled even more than they did yesterday, then you're asking a lot of questions. And I know that, you know, the defensive line will continue to be talked about. Whether or not it's a scheme issue, a personnel issue, continue to give up explosive plays and you don't get to the passer. And yesterday we thought that that would kind of correct itself.
I thought that, you know, I know that they got footing in the run game in that third quarter and early in the fourth before the interception. But before that drive, I'm pretty sure Chuba Hubbard got like 40 yards in that drive alone where AJ makes the interception. So think about it there. Before that drive, they had like 70 yards on the ground. Nate Landman came back and played pretty freaking good. He had two forced fumbles. I think they got both of them back. But he had two forced fumbles. And he had quite a few tackles. I'm trying to find the exact number of tackles he had. But he played pretty well. I think it showed to me that there is some scheme, Mike, but I also think it's a he had eight total tackles, but I also think that it is personnel, and getting Landman back in that run game is huge.
Yeah, I agree.
Still to come here on the morning shift, win for the Dogs, just what they need ahead of facing the number one team in the land. We'll get you caught up on that W over Mississippi State on the other side, as well as all of college football landscape when we come back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right, we have college football to get to, but back to your Falcons, because they notched another NFC South victory, this one 38-20 against the Carolina Panthers yesterday.
Yes, I mean, it's a good win on the road. You won going away. You won your third straight division game, your third straight overall. You're now 4-2. And you, I know that you ran the ball well against Philadelphia. I think you ran it to like 150, but I thought you were, and obviously it's, they're a little bit different, but I thought you ran the, I thought you finally saw the rushing attack look, maybe for the first time since Bijan and Algier have been in the backfield together, where it looked like a complete two-headed monster, and it felt pretty good seeing it.
Yeah, let me ask you this. If it was 3rd and 4, who are you putting at tailback?
Yesterday? I don't know. It depends, because they both made that. Look, I hate to break it, but Bijan was still popping them off at 6.3 yards a clip yesterday as well. I mean,
I agree. Look, both at, good at different things.
Listen to this: 18 carries, 105 yards; 15 carries, 95 yards; one touchdown for the first, two for the other. They both had physical runs. It just depends on, I think, the down and distance and all. There's a few factors that involve it, but they were both getting short yardage.
Tough decision to make between the two of them, but Coach Raheem Morris, proud of both of his backs yesterday.
We talked about it the whole year, but to watch those guys pick up blitzes and put their face in, on big people and big men running through gaps to try to hit Kurt, to keep people off of them, that is impressive. To watch those guys take the handoff and take the fake to open up some of our play-action games, that's impressive. And those guys have been big for us all year. No matter what stats say, no matter what we ask them to do, they do. They play together. They're each other's biggest, you know, supporters. And I'm so proud of them.
It's so funny watching it too, because there were times like you're at midfield and Tyler Algier just rips off a couple of big gainers and you're like, man, get that man into pay dirt. And they get inside the red zone and he's like gassed because he's had like four straight runs, and then Bijan comes in a couple times and gets touchdowns. You're like, oh man, like come on, dude. Like you get Tyler Algier in, and then finally they do at the end of the game. He looked exhausted. He looked like he rushed for 100 yards at the end of the game. It was kind of funny looking at that, you know, that look on his face like, man, I haven't toted the ball that many times all year. And you know, I used to have a teammate. I was making the joke. I used to have a teammate be like, "Haven't been that tired since my wedding night." Just like, it's just exhausted, wow, man. When he's talking about it, so God bless him, man. He was breathing hard. Get that man a oxygen tank.
Well, it's funny, the multiple things. For one, how close they both are. Like Ross said, they didn't know until after the game that Bijan was that close to 100, and they were talking. They're, you know, just having fun with it. Obviously, Algier was our player of the game, and so, you know, talking, we got to talk to him, and obviously, you know, contact boom. But it was it's crazy how complimentary they are to each other.
Yeah,
where one does one thing a little bit better, and the other does this thing a little bit better, and it's a two-headed monster that when you get rolling downhill, the 4 minute drill can look pretty impressive when you have these guys in there running the clock out.
Yeah.
Let's get a check on some college football now, and we can. All right, we are going to college football now. And just to check on our teams closer to home, you had Georgia Tech in action against UNC. And
wild. Wild finish.
Wild is probably the best way to put this one. 41-34.
Yeah, they are up 34-24. North Carolina cuts back and ties the game. And it's almost like Georgia Tech's kind of running the ball out for overtime, and they bust one in the game, and they ended up winning the game. Pretty crazy and good for Brent Key and old face across on the other side of the sideline and Jeff Collins.
Yeah, yeah, not only that, a huge matchup for Georgia Tech going into this weekend. They'll be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium against Notre Dame. So you love getting the ripping off the win headed into that one. It's a big showdown this weekend for them.
No. Is there any truth that Jeff Collins was working out on the sidelines when they busted that big run? Or?
Oh, you're such a hater.
Tough break for my alma mater. Georgia State falls to ODU 21-14. This was ugly, so I'm just going to go
Bama's
ahead.
Bama's transitive property continues to take
ahead.
A
you
hit.
You know what?
Bama's transitive property continues to take a hit. Somehow Vanderbilt lost to Georgia State.
Leave us alone. All right. Your dogs. Went on to beat Mississippi State 41-31. And as I was kind of alluding to earlier, they've got a big matchup this weekend against number one Texas. So getting this W.
Well, it was a sloppy one.
Yeah. Sloppy as it is, it's still a win. But Carson Beck, though, with a monster game in the air, career high 459 yards.
Yeah, Tiff, I just put it out on my account, retweeted it from the show account as well. And my question is, and I'll be doing this in Mic'd Up, which fan base is more concerned going to this weekend? Is it Alabama or Georgia? Talked to a couple of Georgia fans on Saturday after this matchup. You were a, 30-point favorite against Mississippi State. You beat them by 10. I think Georgia played better than probably some people realize, but in the end, the scoreboard reflected a defense that struggled at times against a bad Mississippi State ball club. They were able to move it, and it sounded like Jeff Levy was pretty happy getting on the airplane, which as a Georgia fan, you're not going to want to hear that, but a tough matchup for them. They played good in some phases and bad in others. It continues to be a Georgia team that seems and feels like a work in progress.
Yeah. Carson Beck had a great day, as you said. I think they threw the ball 34 times in the first half alone. So it's not quite the identity you've seen from Georgia teams in the past.
It was a record. He completed 36 passes out of 48 attempts.
I think one of the things coming out of this is Kirby Smart and his emotions getting the better of him on the sideline as he shoves the Miss State quarterback. Going after, I'm assuming is either a ref or a defensive coach, to kind of complain about what had happened. I don't necessarily think it's a huge deal. I wonder if it's going to be made a big deal and if the league fines him, because you have to be if you're a head coach, you have to be in control of your emotions to an extent where you can't shove an opposing player. We've had other coaches make contact with players and not turn out so well for them.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I'm looking at it and I see the headline. I'm like, oh, surely just bumped into him. There's definitely a little bit of arm extension there. I think if Kirby Smart were to get some kind of fine from the league, he'd probably just pay it and just be like, you know what? It is what it is. My mistake. But it was interesting. Jeff Lebby's asked about it after the game. He's like, I didn't see it. No comment. Not going to comment on that. But definitely an interesting series of events. I think that Kirby Smart wishes he could probably have that one back and look at actually who he was bumping into, but it is what it is at this point.
Interesting series of events kind of sums up Roll Tide, sums up your team in action against South Carolina as they just escape the Gamecocks 27-25.
Just an absolute lemony snickets of a football game on Saturday for Alabama. Just There was just bad possession after bad possession, and it comes back to bite you. Jalen Milroe throws a bad pick right before halftime that directly results in 3 points, gets them straight in field goal range. He throws a ball away from the end zone under duress that results in 2 points directly. And then at the end of the game, they recover the onside. They're driving down the field to be able to go win it. So it's just, it was a crazy, crazy game. Bama continues to do a lot of the big things right, but a lot of the small things terribly wrong. And it's going to bite you at some point.
It feels like Saturday for him was a little bit, and I don't like the word regression, but it was a step back in how well he'd been playing. Be remiss, don't mention the wild one in Eugene. That we saw there between
a few more to get to, but yes,
between Oregon and Ohio State, as Oregon knocks off Ohio State. Weird, mistake by Will Howard, not really understanding the clock there. You don't slide with no seconds left on the clock. That was
not good.
Yeah, it's one he'd want back.
And then of course Texas just steamrolling Oklahoma in the Red River Rivalry, 34-3.
Yeah,
they seem like they cannot be stopped right now.
Well. They struggled early. Quinn Ewers was a little bit rusty, so he's going to have to be a little bit sharper when Georgia comes to town on Saturday to Austin.
When we come back here on the morning shift, your team's put together a couple of wins in a row. That's the Falcons. 3 straight victories, including just defeating NFC South opponent, the Carolina Panthers. Let's digest that win on the other side when we come back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.